0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening, welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as a busy few days of European football continues. Rangers are in Seville to take on Real Betis, knowing they could still finish first, second or third in the group. Celtic's Champions League campaign comes to an end with a long-awaited win against Feyenoord, and Aberdeen are underway against Eintracht Frankfurt, and Barry Robson has made changes ahead of Sunday's League Cup final. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, no one's going to think it's a Thursday. You two very rarely team up in here towards the end of the week. Andy Halliday and Gordon DL. We're watching Aberdeen at the moment. We had Celtic last night, Rangers still to come. Busy period.
Yeah, busy period for Scottish clubs. We'll start with Celtic. Well done. Terrific victory for them, I've got to say, Gordon. How football changes very, very quickly indeed. Celtic couldn't buy a win. Got one last night. Lager Bielka couldn't buy a game. Come off the bench to be the hero. Just shows you it can turn very, very quickly. Tonight, Aberdeen are at home. Still 0-0. Good game. But all eyes will be focused on Rangers. Rangers got a great opportunity. But what is the starting lineup going to be?
Yeah, I thought it was a very entertaining game last night. I thought it was the least Celtic deserved throughout the campaign. There's been a lot of promise when up results backed up. But obviously the first one in 10 years at home, which is important for building blocks moving forward. Hopefully we get some more entertainment with the two games we've got tonight. You rightly pointed out Aberdeen's starting lineup was very interesting with the final at the weekend, but I don't think Rangers have that luxury with them at injuries, and a couple obviously not travelling again, so it'll be interesting to see what their lineup is.
Come on down then, 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, what did you make of last night? How good was it to finally get that win? We know it had the dead rubber tag in terms of nothing could be achieved, but we know there was money on the line, we know there was coefficient points, and maybe more importantly, just getting that win, getting that long awaited win, ending some of the statistics that had been doing the rounds, maybe freeing this group of players from some of the sort of pressure and the scrutiny of that run. So what did you make of last night? Who stood out for you? Who was good? Who impressed you? What a night for Gustav Lagerbielka. Not in the team, a few eyebrows raised. Stephen Welsh back from a long-term injury. I guess he was very good. I'm sure most of you would think along those lines as well. And perhaps what you think going forward in the competition. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, you know the drill. How do you think the game's going to go? Predict the team. Who's going to play? Who's not? And what about Sunday? How much does that come into the thinking? You don't have to pick one. You can want to win both games, of course, but how much does it come into the thinking as we look ahead to the League Cup final as well? So 0141 951 1025. And it is different for Aberdeen, obviously, Gordon. Mm-hmm. Theirs is a dead rubber as well. They can make, I think it was 8 changes. They can focus very much on the League Cup final, whereas it's perhaps Rangers can't.
Yeah, Rangers are in a different situation, Gordon, as we all know. Aberdeen, quite right, I'd do the same myself. I was Barry Robson. You're looking at probably biggest game of the season for Aberdeen, biggest game in a long time for them under Barry Robson, who has come under a little bit of pressure, but got bags of backing for Dave Cormack at the AGM. So I'm not surprised with that. On the other hand, Rangers are going to continue progressing in Europe, a great chance to top the group, which would be brilliant for them. So it'll be the strongest team possible for Rangers tonight. They'll concentrate on Thursday, and then after that they'll look forward to Hampden on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, 8 changes like we said, and the likes of, you know, Nicky Devlin, Leighton Clarkson, Shinney, they played basically every game. But it was interesting to see Miosky not even on the bench. So is there a worry going into the final at the weekend? Like I said, but Rangers certainly not got that luxury. It's a must win tie if they want to guarantee progress into Europa League. And obviously with the omissions of quite a few that have raised a lot of eyebrows, means the likes that they've only got one left back travelling over. In terms of injury statuses, they've only got 2 or 3 centre mids. Obviously Cantwell with the unfortunate news a family matter, so slim pickings for come on tonight.
Right, come on. What did you make of last night, Celtic fans? How important was it? We were asking that in the build up to the game. How seriously were you taking it? What were you hoping to learn? What were you hoping to gain now that we know it was a victory? How do you reflect on it? We'll look at some of the personnel stories in there as well. And Rangers fans, What are you thinking about tonight? It could be first in the group, it could be second, it could be third and into the Conference League. Got the League Cup final round the corner as well. So I just wonder how you would sum up your feelings and how much importance you place on tonight. And of course, that old game of predict the team, which we always like. 01419511025. For what it's worth, we are midway through the first half at Pittodrie. It's Aberdeen 0, Frankfurt 0. Frankfurt beat Bayern Munich 5-1, was it, at the weekend, which perhaps didn't bode well for Aberdeen, but not much doing so far. Let's cross live to Seville and speak to Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trustdeed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trustdeedscotland.net.
Andrew, not long to kick off, although it is a later one, 8 o'clock tonight. What's the build-up been like?
Yeah, all quiet in here, as you'd expect at the moment, a couple of hours before kick-off, but I look over to the far left corner at the moment. Up in the gods, some of the Rangers fans have already made their way into the ground, flags on display up there, and there are, I think, around 3,000 or 4,000 Rangers fans that have come into the city, back to a place where they've had some bad memories, of course, in the last 18 months. But speaking to a few fans today about their optimism levels, some of them quite optimistic ahead of tonight, others not so much. But what we do know is that, you know, this is the first of many huge games coming up for Rangers. By this time next week, they could have topped the Europa League group. They could have won the League Cup. They could be just 2 points behind Celtic. But that's only if it all goes perfectly for them. Philip Clement says he's a glass half full type of character, easy for me to say, but he'll be believing it is possible. Step one is getting the job done tonight. It won't be easy though. Real Madrid came here at the weekend. They had to settle for a draw. Betis unbeaten at home all season as well. They've got their own ambitions as well of topping the group, making an impact in this competition. And when it comes to team news as well, decisions to be made by Philip Clement. Leon Balogun, who's well trusted by the Rangers manager, not in the European squad. So who slots in next to Connor Goldson? Will it be John Souter that gets the nod? Is it going to be Ben Davies that gets the nod in there? You look in the right wing spot, Rabi Matondo, Ross McCausland, they're both competing to potentially start out there. And the big one, as Andy was talking about there, no Todd Cantwell due to family reasons. He hasn't travelled. So how does that midfield set up, that number 10 spot? Who is going to play in that position? We will find out in a wee while, but I'm sure Rangers fans will give us their thoughts on the phones of exactly how they want Philip Clement to line up for this one.
Come on, answer the man. 01419511025. Rangers fans, what are you thinking? How are you looking ahead to it? Who should play? Who shouldn't play? All the usual big game pre-match questions. We've got a big game to look back on as well with Jerry, who's a Celtic fan. Jerry, you could all obviously only take so much from last night with the campaign already being over. What? How do you look back on it all now?
Disappointment, Gordon. The usual same old story. Just going forward, look, I'm delighted we got the win last night, obviously, but it's a win that ultimately all it gets is maybe a few thousand, £100,000 in the bank, which I know it's not to be sniffed at, especially if you're Peter Lawwell, but hey-ho.
Two million for what it's worth. I know it's the same logic might apply, but 2 million.
£2 million is a good win, but it's how we spend that money going forward. I want the board and the manager to be in sync together. What I don't want is to see what happened 4 years ago and Brendan just walk out. And by the way, Brendan Rodgers has to improve his signing policies as well. I could throw out guys like Charlie Masonda, Doris De Vries, Ebuwe Kiwase, who were Brendan Rodgers signings, and now he's brought in guys like Nat Phillips. And maybe it's just naive to think that he knows Phillips from 10 years ago when he was a teenager, but I feel like there are certain players who have come in. Clearly Brendan Rodgers has wanted, and they have not been successes. There have obviously all been guys in the past like Marion Schwed, Daniel Azani, who have been lumbered on him, but the board and the club need to be as one going forward, because if they're not, it's going to be the same old story in 12 months' time. And as a Celtic fan who pays good money for season tickets, for merchandise, hospitality, all that stuff, giving my hard-earned money to the club along with thousands of other people, that's not good enough.
So it sounds like you're very much still, you know, annoyed about the failures of the campaign overall rather than taking any heart from last night.
Last night was a win in a dead rubber situation. Yes, the money is great, but we're out of Europe and now we have to focus on domestic football again. And the other mob across the city, you know, I hate to say it, they do better than us in Europe for the most part. I know they're still the worst ever Champions League team in all time, but overall, they last long in Europe. That can't be denied. It's very, very frustrating when we are financially more secure than them. We have much more money, and either we don't spend enough or we spend it very, very poorly, and I'm really sick of it.
I guess both things can be true at the same time. It can be an annoying, frustrating campaign overall for Gerry as a Celtic fan, with an acknowledgement that you would have still rather won last night than not, and take whatever you can from it.
Yeah, I think a lot of what Gerry said, I think a lot of Celtic fans would probably agree with most of it. But I just take it in isolation, going last night, especially after watching them at Kilmarnock or Rugby Park at weekend, they needed a big performance. They needed to go and get that sort of a monkey off their back with a victory as well, especially at Celtic Park. Massive crowd inside, as normal. I thought it was a real good result. And do you know why I thought it was really good? Because I watched the game and I thought Feyenoord played some terrific football at times. I really did. And I thought they're a decent, decent side. Now, you can take on board, yeah, it was a dead rubber, but it was all about getting the result to go forward, and especially into the campaign they play, obviously, Andy's team at the weekend. I do agree with Gerry that January and the summer transfer market's got to be very important. I think Celtic have wasted a lot of money, a lot of wages, and players that just didn't fit the criteria of the club. But all clubs do it. You cannot go through signing every player and it's going to be a success. It doesn't happen, doesn't matter what club you look at. But I think Celtic need to get it right this time.
Was it important to just win one, Andy, whether it's a dead rubber or not? What do you think of the significance of last night, if there is any?
No, I certainly think it would be, because you talk about progress when a lot of chat when Brendan Rodgers got the job is he wants to continue the domestic dominance that Celtic's had but improve them in Europe from his time at the club and from Postecoglou over the last couple of years. And you know, you look at last year, we gave Angie's Celtic so much praise in terms of their performances, but the results weren't matched. I thought when the draw for the Champions League came out this year, I thought Celtic would really fancy this group. I think it was a group they would fancy themselves to hopefully sneak into second place or third. Listen, Athletico, European giants, super club. If you can take a point at home, which Celtic did, great. But I think Celtic look back at the two Lazio games, specifically the one at home where they did play very, very well, but ultimately didn't get the result. And in terms of the game last night, I've seen Celtic play a lot better than last night over the in the Champions League over the last few years and lose games. I thought Feyenoord would be baffled that they've went in 1-0 down at half time, but I think a lot of that was down to, for me, Joe Hart's best performance for Celtic this season.
Is there any sort of psychological boost, Gerry, that can be delivered? Because we mentioned the money and so on, but you know, just having, even if it was in a dead rubber, as you put it, just having that record put to an end and just having that win, maybe just something to hang on to or build on going forward?
Not really, Gordon. I'm just depressed with the whole European form of the last few years, not just under Brendan, but under Ange and Neil. It just seems to be the same old story. And the board and the managers and the players, by the way, are culpable of all that. Can I just change tack one very quickly? I just want to make this point. It's just a bit of fun. Just put Andy in the spot with some Gordon's.
Go on, make it quick.
Right. Last year, Andy said Hearts, no, he wanted Rangers to win the title, but he's a Hearts player. I always thought a Hearts player would want Hearts to win the title. And Clyde One, to be fair, did that big thing at the end of the season when Gio got sacked. And only Mark Wilson, the great Mark Wilson, the great intelligent Mark Wilson, had tipped Celtic to win the league. Andy, would Andy Murray want Djokovic or Federer to win Wimbledon?
Well, Gerry, it was actually a prediction of who would win the league. It wasn't who I want to win the league, so let's not be silly now.
Okay. Well, do you not really want Hearts to predict to win the league?
Absolutely, I want Hearts to win the league, yeah.
But you'd be like, you're in Scotland, you're happy predicting now? Hearts to win the league.
You happy now, Gerry?
Psychologically, is it not a bad thing you want to say another team's going to win the championship that you're competing for?
No, again, you've just got it wrong again. You says that I want to win the Premiership. That's not what I said.
Psychologically, you have predicted another team to win the championship. Do you not think that's a really silly way to approach your football career?
Well, I was asked a question and I answered it. And again, I predicted that Celtic would go out this group, but didn't mean that I wanted it to happen, and it never happened. So that's the end of it.
Gerry says that was his idea of fun. We really to go to one of Gerry's parties. What about John and Blantyre? John, is it all about kind of overall annoyance still, or are you taking any heart, any positivity from last night?
No, you really, if you look at the big picture, you really can't be that annoyed. I mean, see, when you think back, like, I think Man City had already spent a couple hundred million before they even got to the quarterfinals. Celtic and Rangers, we just kind of compete. I see, when I think back, when we signed Sutton for six, Harrison for six, Lennon for six, and that was 20 odd years ago. So we're all spending £12 million in players now. So,
but what is this? What does this all mean, John? Right? Because no, I don't think anyone's suggesting Celtic should win the Champions League, and I'm not going to try and polish Celtic's campaign and make out that it was better than it was. But Celtic finished on 4 points, right? They probably should have beat Lazio at home. So it's not a case of saying, oh, well, what can we do? Throw your hands up in the air, there's nothing we can do. Celtic are maybe a little bit of extra ambition or one or two tactical tweaks away from at least putting up a fight at finishing third. That gets you Europa League football after Christmas, and maybe, just maybe, building on that and sneaking second. Surely this like defeatist, like, oh, it can't possibly be done, look at the money. That surely doesn't apply here when you look at the games that have just taken place.
Well, if it doesn't apply, who wins the Champions League every year?
But again, Celtic's aim is not to win the Champions League.
I know that, Gordon, I know that, but I'm saying the money involved is... Immobile didn't start the last game. He scored nearly 200 goals in Serie A, right? So he's not even started the game. Which is that game worth 40 million?
No, but I get that, but you've watched the games. Are you trying to tell me that with a little tweak here or there, Celtic couldn't have beaten Lazio over the two games? Or certainly sort of won the game at Celtic Park?
Right, I agree with you, right? It's not as if they've been slaughtered. They've not been slaughtered in any of the Champions League games, but, I mean, people are going about their Champions League record. You're playing against teams the best. I mean, Copenhagen, they're an anomaly, right? You'll get one of them every year, right? But you're playing against teams that have got absolute fortunes. Now, they're not spending £80 million a player because it doesn't make any difference. But these are the guys, I mean, Celtic, Rangers, we can, see if we get anything, see if we get 4 or 5 points for areas, that's a result. And I'm not saying this is a defeat statute, but it's just reality. As I said, Man City had spent hundreds of millions before they even got to the quarterfinals. I mean, you talk about a team, one of the richest teams in the world, they couldn't get out of their group. That is the reality of the Champions League. They won it, I see if you think back, when Man City, even when they had all the money, I don't think they even qualified. I think the first couple of years, I think they qualified out of their group, and they spent about £300 million.
Well, if Celtic can't get out of a group, or at least aim to finish third in a group that's got Feyenoord and Lazio in it, then you would genuinely be as well as not taking part.
I think that's a big worry. I think, look, we're not expecting
totally
Celtic
competing. That's all I'm saying. Especially
this campaign, you talk about Lazio at home. I think if he looks back over a campaign, a few set plays, goals, lack of concentration against top quality players that punish you.
Come down to 9 over there.
9, yeah, exactly, Gordon. I think there's a lot to build on for them. But you're right. I think when you get into these sort of groups, in these Champions League groups, where you're getting all the money as well, I think Celtic, what, they make just under 30 million out of this? So it's decent money. And plus the fact, if you have any ambition at all, you have got to be looking at third and upwards. You don't want to be finishing last. You know you're going to come in for a bit of criticism. I don't care how much money you've got. You can obviously look to finish third and upwards, and I think that's where Celtic have to progress.
I can understand John's point. I think that's a big gripe with a lot of our domestic teams when they come up against the Old Firm. But for me, I can't imagine there's a massive financial gulf between Celtic and Feyenoord. I think they'd be pretty much on a level playing field. And Brendan Rodgers said it before the game last night, and I agree. I think Celtic have still proved they belong at Champions League level. I think the performances have been there. Again, I touched on the Lazio game at home. I thought Celtic were the better team throughout. And they got hit with a sucker punch by a Pedro header in the last minute. I thought they were well in the game away to Feyenoord, specifically in the first half until the sending offs. We go to last season, Shakhtar, both legs, Leipzig at home, Real Madrid for the first half. I think they've showed they belong at this level, but I think it's so key to progress to the next level. That 8, 9, 10 players you recruit in the summer, instead of 3, 4, 5 being a hit, you're looking at 70-80% to come and really strengthen the starting 11.
Well, speaking of which, last night specifically was very interesting from a personnel point of view. Thank you to John and Jerry, who were talking more kind of overall, bigger picture, Champions League level. What about last night specifically? What about Gustav Lagerbielka? What a story for him coming on and scoring the winner. Stephen Welsh hasn't played much football this season. He came in at the heart of the defence. Liam Scales, again, maybe when people were just about starting to doubt whether he could be that mainstay, goes and puts in a man of the match performance. And I'm sure there was a few other specific points on last night you want to get through. So if you want to do it right now, please do. And Rangers fans, how are you feeling about, what are we, an hour and 40 minutes ahead of kickoff? 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Dalziel are here, and it's been a good start to the night for the Scottish teams. Aberdeen lead Eintracht Frankfurt by a goal to nil. A good goal as well from Duke.
Yeah, well, very good goal.
Yeah, well, that's probably someone that's got a point to prove. He's a decent player, but Barry Robson tends to, in the big games, leave him on the bench, bring him
he's
on.
He's just not hit the heights of last season,
no,
has he though?
But he's certainly got something, and I think he's went out there with a wee purpose tonight to say, I'm still round about here if you're looking for me to go in this cup final team.
Yeah, he's causing one or two problems as well. Right, let's bring in Derek, who's in Straven. How's it going, Derek?
I'm fine. Good to hear from you again.
And you, what are you thinking tonight?
I've been listening to this for months on end and year on end about Celtic not having the same resources, etc. Well, try saying that to Kilmarnock and all these other teams in the Scottish League. My opinion is, and what tends to be the accepted norm now, is we're not going into to win it. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we should go into the Championship and think we can win it and get a bit further. I think it's all to do with mentality. Smaller teams, any era at all in life, from military or whatever, smaller teams with the right tactics and, most importantly, belief, can go a lot further. And I think it's a psychological problem we seem to have, not just the Celtic, but the teams in Scotland in general.
Do you think that's maybe why winning last night was important, Derek?
I think it was very important. I was absolutely over the moon. You might say it's a dead rubber, but it's not, because there's a good couple of million pounds in the bank. But I really think psychologically, if you actually look at the progression and look at the, and not making excuses, but look at the players that we're missing. And to do what we have done with all those injuries, etc., we should start talking our game up, all of our teams, not just Celtic, and look at what we're doing, and stop moaning about we don't have the money, we don't have this, and we don't have that, because we perform well. There's very, very little in it. There was so little in that group that we could have perhaps got second, third, definitely. So I think it's a belief problem, and I think possibly a tactical problem. But I think that the tactical side will come right.
How important was last night for belief? Because like these stats, they're probably used more by kind of opposition fans than anything. And ultimately, if you've not won in however many years, that's nothing really to do with Kyogo or Luis Palma or whatever. But just to sort of know then, if there's any, for the avoidance of doubt, that you can go and win games at that level. Is that important?
Oh, I think it's really important. Listen, we spoke about this last year, how it's been 9 games since Celtic won at home. We're going near the end of this campaign, we're saying it could be 10 years since Celtic won at home. And it coincides with how we keep saying Celtic have played well, but they're not winning games. For me, if you're a player and you're turning up and you know our team's gave it the best we've got, we've went toe-to-toe with our team, but we've lost 2-1 in the last minute. Psychologically, that must be damning. But then obviously get the win last night was really, really important. I agreed with a lot Derek says, but I don't think belief has been an issue with Celtic at all. Because I actually think their approach to games has always been an attacking intent. I think they've kept their style within that. Tactically, potentially, but I don't think belief's been an issue.
What specifically last night, Gordon, what was good about it? I mean, obviously the result, I think on paper it's just not the starting 11, as you know, Derek alluded to injuries and stuff, the Celtic fans wanted to get into a Champions League group stage game with in 2023. It got the job done. What impressed you?
I thought they defended brilliantly at times, I've got to say. I thought Scales was outstanding. I thought the goalkeeper Joe Hart, who comes in for a lot of criticism, probably had his best game. I totally agree with Andy in a Celtic strip. Collectively, I thought they played very well. O'Reilly always has that in his locker, pops up with that terrific ball. They scored the goals at the right time. At 1-1, I'm looking at the game and I'm thinking, this is going to be one of these situations where Feyenoord go up the park and probably go and win this. But I thought they showed character as well, because you're 1-0 up, you know all the pressure, you've read all the headlines, you know what it's all about, and you're under a little bit of pressure, but good character from Celtic to go and get the winner, and delighted for Lagerbielke. He's come in for a bit of criticism. You look at that last night, he must have been, you know, feeling a bit down sitting on the bench, thinking, will I ever get an opportunity? Is my career here finished? And then within minutes, near the end of the game, he's a hero. And the fans are all celebrating with him. So I'm delighted for that lad. I just thought that Celtic played particularly well. And I thought it was a good result because I thought they're not a bad passing team at all.
Yeah, what did you make when you saw the team, Andy, and realised Lagerbielke still wasn't in it? You know, Nat Phillips was dropped, Stephen Welsh came in. And by the way, not by all accounts, but it feels like everyone you speak to thinks Stephen Welsh did well last night.
Yeah.
Also, so it's not like it was a mistake, if you know, from Brendan Rodgers. It's not a bad decision. But it was one that certainly got everyone debating before the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, and listen, you then read into, it was only a couple of weeks ago when Brendan Rodgers was referring to Mikey Joyce, and he says, sometimes you need to show me more in training to really be in my plans. And then you see Lagerbielke again after calls from he'd be in the team at the weekend instead of Nat Phillips to be on the bench again, and Stephen Welsh played his first game since Pittodrie in the second game of the season. You start to ask the question, does he really fancy Lagerbielke? Does he like what he sees in training? But obviously massive for Lagerbielke to come on and score such an important goal. But listen, I think it's important what you said, because all things can be right. I thought Stephen Welsh was outstanding. I thought he was the best out of three. I thought Stephen Welsh, considering it's his first game for such a long time, I thought done very, very, very well as well. And then Lagerbielke coming on with the most important minute in the last minute.
Yeah, who caught your eye, Derek?
You've actually covered different all the ones I was going to mention, to be honest with you.
Listen, you can put it better than those two.
Well, at the end of the day, bringing two guys on that, in fairness, you don't even think about very much, and for them to do the job they've done, it shows there's an awful lot of good work going on behind the scenes that will come to fruition as time goes on. And I can't wait until our next punch at the Champions League next year, because I'm sure we'll be there, and I'm sure we'll go further. And we just need to start thinking, and I don't go with this with not aiming to win it. This is a really gets my back up. You should go into it thinking we can win. It might sound silly, but you must go in thinking you're going to win, and at least you're going to get somewhere. That's really the core of my point.
Oh, see, I generally love the optimism, and it was me that said to the last caller not to be so defeatist, but there must be a light. There must be a line. Celtic are not aiming. Celtic are not thinking about winning the Champions League, are they?
I don't know. You need to ask Brendan Rodgers.
Surely there's only a very small handful of teams do that, don't know.
I think you've got to aim high to get somewhere.
Certainly aiming high.
It's
a bit like you aiming to win Mastermind, if you don't mind me saying.
I'm like that. I'm a bit like Derek. I go out there, I'm a dreamer. I aim high.
Jeez,
I never reach the heights, Andy, but I certainly aim for them. But listen, Derek's right. If you're going into the tournament, getting with a positive attitude, they're never going to win it, but getting with a positive attitude, it sounds better, doesn't it?
Well, I got called out for not saying that I expect my team to win the league, so maybe I should come with that approach more often. But
Hearts have got to win the league.
But that's obviously a huge bonus for Celtic. What a bonus for young Mitchell Frame as well. I thought he was excellent when he came on, 17-year-old, getting his Champions League debut.
Let's hear Brendan Rodgers on Lagerbielke.
Well, it was a great moment for him because he hasn't been involved in a lot of the squads. Other guys have been in front of him. But his attitude in training and in the main has been superb. And obviously, he's always been ready. So to come in and obviously, like you say, the irony of him getting sent off and then get the winning goal in the game was great. So it was a really nice moment for him.
What do you think? What did you make of his introduction? Can that be a moment he kicks on from? Do you see it making any difference that maybe Stephen Welsh is now ahead of him in the pecking order? But can that be a bit of a turning point for Gustav Lagerbielke? Let us know all your thoughts on last night, please. We do have half time at Pittodrie. Let's quickly get to Dave Galloway, who'll tell us how it went.
Yes, Gordon, Aberdeen 1, Eintracht Frankfurt 0, with the League Cup final against Rangers just around the corner. Aberdeen made 8 changes to their starting lineup. Eintracht, who showed 6 changes themselves, took early control and dominated possession, knocking the ball about very confidently. Jessic Ngankam looked impressive. He flashed the shot just past the far post after a ball over the top, and Niels Nkonku got to the end of a knockdown. His swerving drive went narrowly wide. The home team looking well organised but offering very little in attack. However, after 41 minutes, the Dons took the lead with a very well worked goal. Duke played a lovely 1-2 with Shaden Morris, and when the cross came into the box, Duke had a very simple task to slide the ball into the net as Pittodrie at long last came to life. At the interval, Aberdeen 1, Eintracht Frankfurt 0.
Long may it continue. What about tonight's later game? Alan is a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. How do you feel heading into this one tonight, Alan?
Bit optimistic. I think we'll get a draw. I think I win, but I think we'll get a draw.
And the beauty of it is, Andy, I don't know what that will mean, really. Because
it won't be enough if Sparta Prague win.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So you're kind of looking at the other results as well. What is the... We've all got very deep. We're talking about mindset and aims and all. Will Rangers just be all out to win this group tonight? Nothing else considered or what?
I think the approach for the game will be to win the game, but I still think there'll be a couple of people with their phones in their pockets checking the Sparta Prague score just in case there's any sort of tactical changes. Because listen, if Sparta Prague are losing 1-0 with 10 minutes to go, I don't think Rangers will be going all out for a goal. So listen, it's going to be a difficult one. Real Betis unbeaten at home for a long, long time. Obviously got a draw against Real Madrid at the weekend. When they came to Ibrox, to be fair, I thought Rangers deserved to win that night. So I think it's going to be a competitive game. You've got to worry about the amount of injuries Rangers have got to key players in key areas of the pitch going into the game tonight. And listen, you know, you don't want to seem all doom and gloom, but I do think if Rangers don't get the job done tonight, they've got to look back at the 4 points against Limassol that they've dropped over the campaign.
What are your aims then, Alan? How much do you care about topping the group, and how much do you care about staying in the Europa League versus dropping into the Conference League?
Both and both. Just want my team to do well in Europe. That's all I want to do. But the point I wanted to put to the panel in the first place was, as you probably don't know, your guy was saying about Brendan Rodgers. I think he actually dodged a bullet last night. If Celtic would have lost last night, I think the crowd would have been out his back. I just wanted to know how the panel felt about that, even though they played well.
I think that's a certain, I mean, it's a certainty. Yeah, you lose games at those clubs.
Like if you lose to Kilmarnock in the way they lost at the weekend, if they lose last night, but ironically they didn't, they won it, and so he's got to be congratulated, because I think there was a lot of eyebrows raised when we seen the Celtic team last night. Welsh probably was a big one. And I've got to say, I do agree with Andy. I think, my personal opinion, I thought Scales just tipped him, but I thought Welsh, for coming back, first game since when, August or something? Absolutely brilliant.
4 months, exactly.
Yeah, brilliant. And to be thrown into that, I thought he handled it very, very well. But...
What about tonight? Alan kicked us off talking about that, and we said a lot can change for Rangers. It can be first, it can be second, it can be third, and so it's guaranteed European football after Christmas. It might be Europa League progression. It might be a better form of Europa League progression. What would satisfy? You know, what would be deemed success?
Just looking at the manager and the way he's come in and went about his business at Rangers, I think he's obviously going out there. Be interesting to hear his team, but I think he's going to go for a win, because I fancy Sparta tonight.
I think it would be a very disappointing campaign if Rangers don't go through the group.
So if they finish third and end in the Conference League,
that's a disappointing campaign.
Yeah, because you're going back to the two games. Limassol, especially at home.
Yeah.
You know, you fancy Rangers all day long at home to pick up better points. But I think Rangers need to get a result tonight, and by meaning a result, I think they've got to win.
Quickly then, if you've both got the same team written down, you don't need to both give me it, but let's predict the Rangers team, because we'll get it next.
Oh, Jack Butland will be in goals. I think it'll be James Tavernier. Connor Goldson, I think it'll be John Souter next to Goldson. I think obviously Barisic will be the left back. And I think it'll be Cifuentes, Lundstrom, Lammers, McCausland, Sima, Dessers.
Any difference?
Yeah, I'm going for Davis instead of Souter.
And that's it?
Yeah.
We'll find out next. Cash
for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, proud to support the local community.
What a prize we have on store. I've been telling you about this for quite a few nights now, but it is worth repeating. And if you're hearing it for the first time, you're going to think it's too good to be true. Trust me, because thanks to Arnold Clark, we've got a brand new BMW 1 Series, which could be yours pretty much for a fiver. All we're asking you to do is text the word CAR, C-A-R, to 84901. And that gives a voluntary £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So £5 straight to local children that need your help. The text costs a standard network rate message as well. And for that £5 donation, you're in the hat and you might win the brand new BMW 1 Series. Just imagine it. You're doing your bit for charity, your bit for the local community, and you've got a brand new car to show for it as well. The entries close at 6pm this Saturday, the 16th of December. It's over 18s only, and the full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. So text CAR to 84901.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are here. It's 01419511025. I think one night we'll throw open the conversations at the break.
Can you do that?
It's just funny to watch. It's like watching like the modern current pro trying to educate the old guy as to like the modern ways in and around the professional game. It's just, it's fascinating.
I think you'll find
to
it the other way about. I'm trying to educate Andy and a lot
pass
of,
on your experience, are you? I'll bet you are.
Timing wise.
Speaking of timing, we've got the Rangers team, which will bail us out of whatever awkward conversation you're about to bring up. So Andrew McLean, one of them is going to be right, because they only had, I think, one difference in their team. Who plays for Rangers tonight?
Yeah, well, four changes tonight for Rangers. Balogun, Suter, Matondo and Cantwell all drop out for varying reasons. In come Connor Goldson, Ben Davies, Ross McCausland and Sam Lammers as well. So it will be Jack Butland who starts in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. The two holding midfielders will be John Lundstrom and Jose Cifuentes on the right wing, Ross McCausland on the left wing, Abdallah Sima, and it's going to be Sam Lammers in behind Cyril Dessers. We take a look at the substitutes as well on offer. Robbie McCrory, Kieran Wright, the two goalkeepers, then Suter, Matondo, Sterling, Roof, Devine, Lyle and McKinnon.
It's 1-0 DL. You predicted Davies over Suter. Maybe that was just wishful thinking on Andy's part, given that it's his ex-teammate.
I won each member the last time we done our prediction.
Yeah, but you knew the
team in advance.
I'm not surprised. I think he's looking at one or two. Balogun's became a regular, a favourite for him. I think when he's out, Davies is the replacement. Look, the rest of it picks itself. I don't think that was rocket science. It'll be interesting to see how Lammers produces tonight. I think it's a big night for him. As I said, football is very, very funny game. It can change very quickly. You've seen Lager Bielka come on last night, make yourself out a hero. Can Sam Lammers do that tonight in Seville?
Yeah, Andy, there's not the same... You could have really analysed that Rangers team tonight and tried to get a gauge on whether Philippe Clement was going all out for the win, whether he did have Sunday on his mind for certain players, but there's so few players available for Rangers that it did kind of pick itself, so there's not a huge analysis to be done, unfortunately, for us.
No, I think, well, you look at the striker, I think if Danilo and Dessers, then you're sort of to and fro for the weekend. I think the number 10 position, Lammers, Lawrence, Cantwell, there's debates to be had there, centre mid area as well, but you're talking about not having a lot to pick from. Just look at that, the bench alone. I think I was trying to listen when Andrew was rhyming them off, but there's about six or seven academy products there. There's still the majority of the boys that are training and playing with the B team in there. So it just shows if they've not got a lot, but we've seen what happens when these young kids get a chance with Ross McCausland nailing his place again, getting an R start. So if it's not Lammers, hopefully one of them can come on and make a difference.
Yeah, McCrory, Wright, Suter, Matondo, Sterling, Roof, Devine, Lyle and McKinnon on the bench. So let's bring in Alan, who's a Rangers fan. Alan, what does tonight mean? What are you hoping for? What are you expecting?
Well, obviously, just to have the team, obviously hoping to win and top the group, because I believe you're going to the last 16. Mm-hmm. But just as you said, he's not got a lot to pick from, so We played well against Betis at Ibrox, but it's a completely different team. So, it's, yes, it's going to be a hard game. And listen, if it's, I don't want to go to the Europa Conference, but if that's what it is, we're in after Christmas. So,
yeah, like, I think partly because it's new and, you know, people sort of, I don't know, scoff at the Conference League. I'm not sure if we're having conversations earlier about our teams not belonging at the Champions League. Mm-hmm. Can't really scoff at the Conference League. No. You know, and you look at West Ham won it and gave it big licks when they won it and so on. So I don't think in isolation it's a terrible level to be involved if you can get to the latter stages. But this is about the position Rangers were in, isn't it? It's about what they thought was going to come from this group. If it ends in Conference League, it shows that they've not finished strongly, essentially.
I think Andy's right. I think they'll be disappointed, Gordon. I think they've dropped valuable points there that everybody was expecting, which made this game tonight a lot more comfortable. But they've got a good record in Europe. They seem to bring out good performances in Europe. When you write them off, they just bounce back and they get a good result. Look, it's not the strongest starting 11 for Clermont tonight. We know that. But it's up to guys to stand up and be counted. And plus the fact, you've got the added advantage, the carrot there to say, there's a cup final coming up on Sunday. Show me that you want to be in that team as well. What a double that could be. Winning tonight and going and winning the cup final at Hampden against Aberdeen.
Yeah, Alan, how important is that side of it? I know we always hear people banging on about one game at a time and that stuff, but just kind of getting through tonight, maybe even the result in the other group can do you a turn and, you know, coming through unscathed ahead of Sunday.
That's the most important thing, coming through unscathed, because even going to Sunday, what's going to change on Sunday, Balogun will come back in, Yilmaz will be available, and we're not sure about Cantwell yet, so there isn't much scope to change it on Sunday as well, so hopefully it'll never be an easy game tonight, but it'll be really hard pushing, and they've got Sunday, but years gone past, we've played well in Europe and came back and won an extra time in cup finals and that. So hopefully, Clermont's got their fitness up. And as Andy said earlier, I think the annoying thing in this group is of those 4 points to the weakest team, and then in the league, of those 4 points to Aberdeen. Two stupid games of those 4 points, eh?
Again, if we're on about psychology earlier, Andy, it's slightly different. Even just going into Sunday, you know, Alan's talking about personnel, which is understandable, but just making sure tonight isn't a bad night for whatever reason, would that help on Sunday? How separate are they?
I do think they are separate, to be honest. Yeah. I think I think the Conference League is a good safety net. I think that's all it is. I think Rangers' aim tonight will be to get points. Obviously they might have to have one eye on the other result, but if they get through, great. But I think Sunday is a completely different game. It's a final. They're always quite edgy, they're always quite cagey. You see Aberdeen's approach where they've rested 8 players, but they're still putting up a great fight after 50 minutes and still one up against Frankfurt. I do think that key thing that Alan just mentioned there is coming out unscathed. I'm just picturing in my head just now a scenario. If John Lundstrom gets injured, Rangers midfield for Sunday. Mm. Cifuentes is obviously the other one tonight. He's suspended. Raskin's injured. It looks like Ryan Jack's still injured. Lawrence is injured. That's an area of the pitch where they can just afford no more injuries going into the final at the weekend.
Thank you very much to Alan. We are an hour and 5 minutes, if you want to be specific, away from kickoff over there in Seville. We are back underway at Pittodrie. Aberdeen do still lead by that goal to nil against Eintracht Frankfurt, and have just carved out a chance so similar to the goal that I was just making sure it wasn't a replay. Mm-hmm. You've fallen into that trap
many
before.
A time.
You ever heard of that? It was a Rangers St Johnson. It's just always stuck with me.
Morelos.
And he's given it big. He's gone, they're in again. They've scored. It's the exact same. And it was just a replay.
You know my favourite Dazza moment though, don't you?
Well, there's many.
You know my favourite, Bevis McGabby. That is superb. Messi's teammate,
listen,
Bevis.
Listen, your partner in crime, he's maybe competed with you last night. Let's play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Did you hear about him last night?
No, what happened?
So we went to the tiebreaker. It was a good game. He was actually not
what
bad.
What a performance. Yeah. It was a brilliant game.
So I think it was 5-5. Went to the tiebreaker. And the question was to the nearest year, what is the average age of players in the Scottish Premiership? And Mark said 2000.
I think that's a poorly worded tiebreaker. That
what is the average age?
Age.
Again, no, 2000. He said a date of birth. I don't mind that.
To the nearest year, what is the average age? And he said 2000. 2000 year olds running about the pitch at Fir Park in Pittodrie.
It's a shame because what a performance he had beforehand as well.
So
was a
needless
good game
to say, lost by a few.
By 1,900.
I'm quite happy I lost because I'm in a terrible.
You're in bad run. Listen, you're in the presence of Beat the Pundit royalty tonight. He's very good. We'll see what happens tonight. 01419511025. I can see the lines lighting up. You know what's about to happen. You need to call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Dalziel are here. Now the problem, can I not breathe so heavily into the mic? The problem is that we're on the live stream now, so you've spent the first half of the show in an Under Armour t-shirt. You've rushed off and got changed.
I've got
at the break
for Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit becomes so formal.
I know, what's happening?
No, I thought I'd just get dressed up for occasions coming up to Christmas. I've been a bad run.
It's a strange time of year for a game of bowls.
Looking good, eh? I'll wait till you see my jacket and I've.
What's up? The bowling club open at this time of year, is it?
Nice wee number.
You're floodlit.
You look well, but you're absolutely busting at the chest there.
Like this, folks.
Did you get any shoes on?
My God. Anyway, right, let's play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Ah, he's all dressed up for the Clyde One Christmas party, honestly. Oh. Watch out if you're in Glasgow City Centre. Wow. I mean, Hugh Keevens is in.
He's
Brighton.
In Brighton.
The public being saved from his presence tonight. Anyway, let's meet tonight's contestant, who's Chris in Bishop Briggs. How's it going, Chris?
Yeah, not too bad. How you doing?
Yeah, not bad. You ever played before?
No, never played before.
Good,
no.
That's the way I like it. Gordon Dalziel is in rank rotten form. The pundits overall are in rank rotten form. So you'll be hoping it's not Andy Halliday, I assume.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely.
Good. When was the last time you played though?
Last month.
Oh, was it? Yeah. All right, okay.
We had the full Stuttgart debacle.
Oh, don't. I've tried. That's why that kept me up for weeks. I'd rather not think about that. Heads, it's Andy Halliday. Tails, it is Gordon Dalziel with his new outfit and his lack of shoes. Can you go and put your shoes on just now while I'm talking, or you can sit barefoot?
Yeah, I'll sit barefoot. Well, I've got my socks on.
It is Tails as well. It's
who is it?
Barefoot over in the corner. Oh, Gordon Dalziel. You're in bad, bad form as well.
Can I take these off now?
Yeah, take them off. I hate that. You listen.
It's up to you.
Do what you like. If you're going to keep them away from the mic so I can't hear your music. Right, let's give Gordon Dalziel some greatest hits radio. 30 seconds on the clock, Chris. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Right, good man. Your 30 seconds is on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Rangers' only goal in the last game against Betis? Apart from Celtic and Rangers, who's the only top flight team with a positive goal difference?
St. Mirren.
Before last night, who were the last team Celtic beat in the Champions League groups?
Barcelona.
Bojan Miovski plays for which international side?
Macedonia.
John Spencer is the record signing for which Scottish Premiership team?
Motherwell.
Who scored Raith Rovers' late winner against Arbroath last night?
Vogan.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon Dalziel. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock. You look nervous.
I need a win.
Sweating, that's what it is.
I need a win.
This is his feet and your time starts
to buy some shoes.
Now, who scored Rangers' only goal in the last game against Betis?
Sima.
Apart from Celtic and Rangers, who's the only top flight team with a positive goal difference?
St. Mirren.
Before last night, who were the last team Celtic beat in the Champions League groups?
Pass.
Bojan Miovski plays for which international side?
Hungary.
John Spencer is the record signing for which Scottish top flight team?
John Spencer. Motherwell.
Who scored Raith Rovers' late winner against Arbroath last night? Come on, Raith Rovers legend.
Vaughan. Lewis Vaughan.
What do you think, Chris?
I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, Sima did score the last time, I'm afraid. So it's 1-0 to Gordon. Apart from Celtic and Rangers, the only top flight team with a positive goal difference is
Kelly.
Kilmarnock.
Oh, no.
No, none of you got it. Before last night, the last team Celtic beat in the Champions League groups was
Anderlecht
away 2017. Brendan Rodgers.
I can't remember
spell.
Your name. What's your name?
3-0.
Chris, did you get that, Chris?
He did not.
No, I did not. No.
Chris, you're saying it's close, you're on duck.
I know. Well,
listen, you're only on one.
I know.
And what I would say is, I mean, I don't want to get all geopolitical or cause some sort of international incident, but given that he's closer than Gordon, I'm inclined to give this to Chris.
Hold on.
The producer isn't having it.
Did he say so?
No, it was closer than that. Bojan Mijovski plays for North Macedonia.
I sure he does.
Chris said Macedonia.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
It is different, but
it's Christmas. I'll give him that.
Good on you. See,
thank you.
Producer was on your side for once as well.
But if he beats me, we'll revisit that.
John Spencer is the record signing for Motherwell. You both got it.
This is your winner, this.
And who scored Raith Rovers winner against Arbroath last night? He's a Raith Rovers legend, as we found out recently. His podcast history's gone everywhere. Such
is it
as
Vaughan?
It is Lewis Vaughan.
Yeah.
What was it you said, Chris? Again?
What's that?
What was your answer to the Raith Rovers one?
Well, I said it was a mispronunciation because I said Vaughan, but really,
I know.
Hold on a minute, we'll give you that as well.
He's not getting it, but you know, I just had a feeling when he said it because he sounded kind of sure, but he just said a name that was like.
It was just a G&H. I've
got to be honest, I totally guessed that.
That suggests to me that somebody Googled it and showed you the answer, Chris, and you thought that Vaughan said Vaughan.
Well, I don't know about the wee part of that.
Quite frankly,
I'll tell you what it suggests, Chris. You're not getting a ball. that suggests, mate.
Hard lines, Chris.
Oh, I'm back, Andy.
It's a good answer. That I thought you were. Thought time pressure was getting to you, but you got Vaughan right.
Yeah,
there.
Well done. Well done to Chris and Bishop Briggs for taking part. It means you're
back.
Must be buzzing off here.
Oh, that good night. Yeah, I'm wearing this lucky shirt next week.
What, you must be buzzing off Raith Rovers though. I mean, your old team. How good are they? At the end of games,
I would be over the moon if they could go.
Late drama.
See, they could go and win that championship.
What was your haunt again?
What do you mean, my haunt?
Jackie O's. Is it still open?
Oh, no.
So that's not where they would go for their title celebration if they could do it.
No.
And is it still a night spot or is it like a supermarket?
Is
it
flats now? Yeah.
That's just not as exciting.
Depends who's in them.
Yeah. That's a real shame. I wonder what Kirkcaldy's number one night spot is now, and would they have you back?
Oh, they would certainly help me back. I'm a hero out there. Everywhere I go.
No, I don't doubt it. I really don't. But anyway, it's another victory on Beat the Pundit. You needed that, though.
I did need that, mate. I was under a bit of pressure. I'm not good with the countries. Have you noticed that?
Yes, we have.
Well, it's Macedonia near Bevis
Hungary.
Bevis McGabby, I can believe that, yeah.
Is Macedonia near Hungary?
Well, all I'd say to you is it's nearer...
Same flight.
It's nearer than Argentina is to Uganda, right?
Right,
from
okay.
the last time. But, like, you know...
Eastern Europe, isn't it?
But yeah, you needed a win and you got it. So I'm happy enough that you managed to get that one. I must say it was better for you, much better. Right, 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. You have options. You can look back on last night's game against Feyenoord. Celtic fans, if you took anything from it, first two callers tonight were pretty clear. Didn't really care if that's the right expression. No real optimism or positivity from it. Disappointing campaign. Last night didn't make much difference. And then we got a bit more of a look at last night, what it could mean and how positive it could be going forward and all that sort of stuff. Rangers fans, you heard the team. There's no real surprises. There's not really much in the way of availability. So the only debatable position we agreed was at centre back, was it Ben Davies or John Souter? And it was Ben Davies who's been given the nod by Philippe Clement this evening. Looking back on last night, I think is James in Port Glasgow though. James?
Good evening, Gordon. Andy Gordon.
Hello.
Guys, I'd like to talk about one or two things. I thought last night we straight to win. We got a bit of pride back. But if you look at the whole campaign, four centre-halves out, a winger out, and three midfielders out in all the games, that has got to have some effect on the team. Alan Vickers was out. Bagavelka was out, Rocky was out, Welsh was out, Hatate was out, Awate was out, Maeda was out, and Abada. Top quality players. Okay, we didn't get as far as we did, but I think we'd have a better chance if they had been played. Carter Vickers played one in the six games. One. I think Abada hadn't played any. Another three or four boys up. So I think they'd won one or two games between them. And then that wee point, I think people's forgetting, Celtic get 2.4 million last night and then 990,000 for the draw against Madrid. So that takes up to 3.2 million. No bad for two games.
Well, you spend it wisely, though. That's what a lot of Celtic fans have been asking, isn't it?
I think the 3 million will go in the bank and the 200,000 will go in players.
I guess, look, James is right. If you are as up against it in the Champions League as Celtic are, generally, for maximum chance, you do at least need everybody available. But at the same time, it's football and everybody gets injured, and we're looking at Rangers tonight going over with very little options. And even, you know, last season's campaign, I think Celtic had defensive injuries at times as well. So, yeah, on one hand, of course, it would have given them a better chance. And on the other, sometimes it's just what you've got to deal with.
Yeah, I can understand that. You can look back and think about, would your, like, Hatatis and Cameron Carter-Vickers make such a big difference? But I think every club that play in the Champions League could probably go to the same, what I call, excuse board.
Why'd you call it that?
I don't know. It's just a board full of excuses.
It's the worst piece of equipment ever.
You got a big board up and you put all your excuses up.
But hold on, look, it is obviously a factor, especially if you take, because the irony is then last night it was the sort of the worst in terms of availability, and yet it was the game that Celtic won. But you go to Rome away, and you really need people like Maeda to set your press, don't you? And you need, you know, options there.
Yeah, but I just think, you look at Aberdeen tonight, 8 changes against Frankfurt. Mm-hmm. They're 1-1 now. You look at Rangers going to Ibrox, and everybody was commenting on probably the worst back four that Celtic's ever produced. You know, if you can't score against Celtic today, you'll never beat them, you'll never score against them. They come away with a 1-0. You look at Welsh getting in last night from August, and they beat Feyenoord 2-1. Mm-hmm. It doesn't guarantee, if you had everybody available, all these terrific players, and they're good players, and they do add something to Celtic, of course they do, that they would have picked up, they would finish second, finish third, or whatever it may be. I think that sometimes you look at the overall picture. For instance, I don't think it was anything to do with team selection against Lazio at Parkhead. I thought it was just poor defending. You know, they lose a goal for set play. They had the game in their hand. They didn't know how to see it out. I thought tactically it was poor from them. I'm talking about the players on the pitch. So I think there's more to take into consideration just saying, well, we missed our big player, so we'd have probably, you know, got more points and went further in the tournament. I don't think that's the case.
James just said it gives you a better chance. Surely it does.
Yeah, I think it does, especially when you, like, listen, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Celtic's best defender. I don't think anyone will disagree with that. I think Rio Hatate in Europe last year was Celtic's best performer in the Champions League group stage games. Of course, Maeda, I think, when it comes to these big games as well, is so important for Celtic. So missing the likes of the 80, I think, is huge. But what it does, it presents opportunities for people. And now you see the emergence of Liam Scales in a Celtic jersey. That doesn't happen if these guys were talking about a fit, probably. And listen, you must say, Celtic have got a big enough squad to deal with it. You're talking about the players that don't even make the European squad. Naroki, who they signed in the summer. Kobayashi, who they signed in last summer. And maybe not light for light in terms of quality, but like I says, it's opportunities that presents itself for people to try and grasp it.
The squad's big enough, but does it maybe shine a light then, James, on what Celtic need to do to combat these injuries? Because as we said, injuries are going to happen. So are the backup players good enough? Is there enough quality in reserve there?
I think if you're honest, and Gordon says it's a sort of excuse, it's not really. If you look at it, we had one centre half out of four, the five, the whole back four were out, injured. So you're going to struggle. What I'm saying is, I think if they had been fit and available, we might have got third place. I'm not saying we'd have got second, but we might have got third. You've got to take your opportunities, but we've also got to criticise last night. I've got to say what I think. I thought Mikey Johnson done one thing. He put a cross in for O, and that was his contribution. And what happened to Greg Taylor, his partner, he was going forward, getting the ball away, and then he was going to try and beat two or three players. They nipped in and took it off him. I'll be honest with you, if Feyenoord had their shooting boots on last night, we might not have got a win. We had a better walk. They ripped us apart a few times, and you've got to be fair.
And do you know what, though? We've also been saying this. We said it last night's show. Could Celtic even get to the stage where they do whether it's scrape a win or just get something that they've not managed to do. The reason Andy Halliday made that terrible noise is because Aberdeen have gone 2-0 up, and it is a terrific goal. I pulled a bit of a face. I caught myself on the live stream before because I thought they got an absolute stonewall penalty denied.
I've only seen one angle of it, but it looked like a stonewall penalty for that angle.
And Sockler, who by the way just looks exactly like Miovski, and he wears number 19 and Miovski wears 9, and it's very confusing, but it's Sockler definitely because Miovski's not playing. That is a wonderful goal from Aberdeen, and they lead Eintracht Frankfurt for 2-0. And amongst all the discussions about whether you can aim high and cause upsets and all the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's definitely by design, that goal, because both goals have been very, very similar. You know, Aberdeen are 5-4-1 compact. When it gets into a certain area, they try to nick it and play forward quickly. And that's what the two goals have been, but it's a fantastic finish. And like he says, I was in disbelief for the angle. I seen that Aberdeen never got a penalty 45 seconds before, but turns out it doesn't matter.
That'll be the team that starts on Sunday. the way they've performed tonight, I've been watching parts of this game.
Yeah, all those guys that thought they were rested for the weekend have actually dropped.
They're out. I've got to say, what a finish that is.
What a result as well, by the way. Dead rubber or not, again, financially, this is going to be big for Aberdeen.
I mean, let's be careful because they did not lead Palk 2-0 as well.
True,
so
let's,
but nevertheless, 75 gone. Thanks to James on the line. What about Kevin? How do you look back on last night, Kevin?
How you doing, boys? You all right?
Good, thank you. Good.
Last night, it's obviously nothing but positives. It was good to get the 3 points, finally, on the board. But I was just saying to the producer there, I think what you've seen, we've played better than that in almost every game, apart from Madrid away. We've played in the second half in Feyenoord. We've played better than that in every game and get nothing. Apart from the point, obviously, at home against Madrid. So we were due that 3 points last night. I know what Gordon's saying there, the Feyenoord had their shooting boots on, but for me, you've got to give Joe Hart a bit of credit. Everybody's quick enough to give him stick. He made a few big saves. So I would give Joe the credit rather than say the strikers didn't have their shooting boots on. But
He's dressed like a bowler tonight, and he's very upset because it wasn't him that said it. It was the previous caller. I can see you shaking your head.
I don't mind taking the blame for things I do and say, no problem, Kevin. We all make mistakes.
Kevin, what did you make of? Take me back to when you saw the team come out. You know, before the game, what did you think? What were your thoughts then when you saw the team?
Shocked when I seen Welsh starting. I just felt because. Usually, he wouldn't be too upsetting, you know. Welsh is a decent player, but against a team that scores the amount of goals that Feyenoord score, the Dutch champions, I think, God, they're going to have a field day with that boy at the back. But I thought the team was what we could do, you know. I mean, we've got a lot of players out, and I think for me last night, it was mainly that the team definitely needs strengthened. We need another striker, 100%, for to cover Kyogo. I would bring in another centre half. Phillips has gone. He'll be going back to Liverpool, no doubt, in January.
How many centre halves do you need, though, Kevin? I mean, so that's now. Is Lager Bielka, is he back in the picture? Liam Scales is man of the match last night, and Stephen Welsh is there. Cameron Carter-Vickers, Mike Navrotsky. Surely don't need any more.
Well, the big boy, Lager Bielka, his job's to defend, and I've yet to see him do that. So we'll see what he does if he gets a game. Let's not just congratulate the guy for scoring a goal, but first and foremost, his job's to defend, and he's been dodgy to say the least when I've seen him. Navrocki, Churi's out on him, he's been injured, and Greg Taylor, for me, his form has been absolutely horrific this season, so he needs pushed in the right direction because his form's terrible.
I think that's a really fair discussion, that, I think, on Lager Bielka. It's a brilliant story, you know, the fact that there was all this debate about him. He comes on and he scores. Is Kevin onto something, though? Does it actually do anything to, you know, change his standing in the pecking order, or are you just the guy that's in the right place at the right time at that moment?
I think Celtic fans will feel maybe a bit of justification because they've been asking for him to play, and he comes on and makes a difference. But I think he's right. I think we've spoke about it early parts of the season when he played, and in a couple of games he didn't look quite as convincing. Even in the clean sheet that Dazza was talking about, Ibrox, I thought Scales was excellent that game, whereas I felt Lagerbielke was giving Rangers one or two chances. But I was actually going to ask Kevin the question because he never mentioned Liam Scales there, and I feel as if, disrespect is the wrong word, but I feel as if it's going under the radar how well Liam Scales has actually done. Listen, he never cost 5 million, he's not got a fancy name, he's not came for a fancy big club, but for me, I think he's been really, really good since he's came back, and it almost feels as if Celtic fans at times are already trying to edge him out as if he's not the answer long term. Is that how you feel, Kevin?
Andy, you've picked me up absolutely 100% incorrect. The reason I've not mentioned him is because that boy doesn't need mentioned. He's been one of your best players this season. Apart from Matt O'Reilly, player of the season at Celtic so far, you've got Matt O'Reilly and then it's Liam Scales. So I don't know where you're getting the... Andy, I don't know where you're getting the Liam Scales. I've not listened to the show that often recently because of work, so I don't know where you're getting the Celtic fans. I've put him under the radar because any Celtic fan I've spoke to, they've said the boy's absolutely fantastic. So...
I kind of know what Andy means. I don't think it was a case of... It just felt like in the last few games, Gordon, it was maybe one or two people then, not loads or whatever. It felt like some were just waiting to say, see, Liam Scales started the season well, but knew he wouldn't cut it at this level. I mean, I saw a few of those. I saw a good few of those on Sunday or whatever day the Kilmarnock game was. But if that's a huge response last night, isn't it, from him?
Yeah, I gave him my man of the match. I know what Andy's talking about, young Welsh coming in there. I thought he was brilliant for the fact that he hadn't played football and thrown into that sort of a pressure game for them to go and get a victory. But I thought Scales was just outstanding. I really did. Maybe I was like the rest. I watched him live on Sunday down at Rugby Park, and a little bit like some Celtic fans are thinking, is he starting to take a slight dip? Because I think he set such a high bar when he came in at first. So, no, he's definitely been terrific for him.
Thank you, Kevin. What about tonight's game as well? If you want to look ahead to Seville, pick up that phone right now. And if you go to Clyde1.com, we've actually got a range of presents for us to hand out just in time for Christmas with our online competition, Presents Under the Tree. You can win an exclusive 13-person Grand Prix VR experience at VR Simulators. It is the ultimate 5D racing experience. It's got the full motion seats, wind generation as well, with over 185 cars and 100 tracks to choose from. It's a great day out if you think, you know, the family, your friends, stag and hen do's, Christmas parties, whatever it may be. Go to Clyde1.com for your chance to win.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Oh, big drama. Big drama in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard studio. Gordon DL, he's been getting changed for the Clyde One Christmas party at the break. He's realised he's brought a black jacket in navy trousers. That's just a faux pas. It's just not going to work.
Don't exaggerate.
Was it Andy Halliday?
Navy.
Why don't you bring it for the camera? That's the beauty of the live stream.
It's all about the people. It's 4 and 9. It's not about my dress code.
That is a black jacket.
It's a lovely navy blue. It says it on it.
Do you want a hoodie just in case?
I probably need that.
You'd all planned out.
I can't believe I don't know. I think it's a light, but I'm sure it's blue.
Oof. Well, I wish you well regardless. I'm sure the listeners are really worried about you.
Can you handle this last half hour?
Right, we're going to speak to Justin, who's a Rangers fan, in just a second, but let me give you this question first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
Still 2-0 Aberdeen, by the way. Eintracht Frankfurt going from a 5-1 win against Bayern Munich to a 2-0 defeat against Aberdeen is quite the turnaround. 4 minutes of the 90 remaining in that one, right? Thanks to Michael in Townhead for sending this question in. It's pretty straightforward. Before last night, can you name the last 9 players to score for Celtic in a Champions League group stage game that they won? So before, what's the sigh, Andy? Not your special subject.
It's not my subject at all.
Before last night, can you name the last 9 players to score for Celtic in the Champions League group stage in a game that they won?
Forrest.
Yes, against Ajax 2013. Okay.
Scott Brown.
Strange choice for me. No.
Did the Cham score that game?
You're maybe thinking Lazio or Anderlecht. No.
Honestly, I have no clue. I'd be guessing.
No, nothing. I'll be guessing.
It will.
Keep going.
Dembele.
No.
Edward.
No.
Griffiths. Larson.
Griffiths, yes. Larson, Griffiths. No.
Come on, Andy. You should know your Celtic stuff.
I think of like relative periods of success or like some big results or famous results or whatever, but it's the last nine.
McGregor.
Hartson, Sutton.
No.
McGregor.
No.
McGeady.
No.
I'll tell you who.
Nakamura.
Oh my goodness.
Nakamura, man, you.
No, he's not. He's not in the last. We're only going as far back as 2012 for the last nine.
Sinclair.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say.
Anderlecht 2017. All right, that's three down, seven to get. Thanks to Michael for sending it in. And it's full time at Clyde1.com if you want to send your questions. Justin is a Rangers fan. Oh, what's happened here? Because the screen said Justin in the city centre and it's changed to Justin in the stadium in Seville.
We are, yes.
Brilliant.
We're in the stadium just now. The teams have just come out to warm up.
I find that really heartwarming, Justin, that you go all that way, the game's about to kick off and you're thinking about us.
I couldn't have missed you out, guys. I'd feel brilliant. Left out if I didn't speak to you about it.
Brilliant. What are you thinking then tonight?
We've just seen the team. Most of the Rangers fans that we've spoken to are a wee bit nervous that Deathers is up front. Everybody that we've been speaking to today has been really keen to see Sima, maybe Matondo and McCausland up front to three, especially since Cantwell's out. We thought that gave us a lot of pace up front. But a wee bit nervous that the death of the start might make us a wee bit more pedestrian and a wee bit more defensive. But it's honestly seeing the Rangers fans in fine voice, and it's a good atmosphere, really good atmosphere. But just really looking forward to it.
Andy, we kind of say this every time he plays, big night for Cyril Dessers to try and show that. Usually it's just to show that he can step in. Now is it to show that he can step up after that news that Danilo's going to miss, what was it, several months, I think was the quote from Philippe Clement.
Yeah, so it seems as if he's going to be the number nine from now to at least January. And again, the reason it's going to be so big is because when January comes, I don't think there's any doubt that Rangers will be dipping into the market for another striker. So he's got to show that he can lead the line with massive games coming up, especially the two we've got in the... for the remainder of this week. But for me, Sam Lammers as well. I think Todd Cantwell, when he comes back, and Tom Lawrence are obviously fighting for that position. But I think that's an area where, you know, Sam Lammers got a real opportunity again tonight to show that he's got more to offer at Rangers.
Yeah, it's him and Dessers Gordon, isn't it? They're still the ones that just need to prove more.
Yeah, I can understand that the Rangers fans looking at Seema through the middle. I think he could do that job, but he's getting a good return where he's playing, just off the left-hand side, Gordon. Dessers, he got his goal at the weekend. So he's a centre-forward. You've got to put a bit of trust in him. So the big one for me is I think Lammers needs a big night. I really do. I think he needs to really step up to the plate. And no better time than tonight in an important game away from home. But I think that's about the best that, with what he's got at his disposal, the best Rangers starting 11 for me.
Justin, how important is Europa League progression to you? You know, what would you feel if it was dropping into the Conference League? I'm trying to get a sense of just how important you see tonight. We know there's a big game in the Cup Final on Sunday as well. What are your kind of thoughts on your hopes and aims for the next couple of days? Can you win? Just win the lot? Is it as simple as that?
It kind of is. Aye. I mean, to be honest with you, as a Rangers fan, I know a lot of Rangers fans are saying we're guaranteed Europe after Christmas and the Conference League and stuff like that, but we want to be playing in the Europa League. We want to be playing in the Champions League. We don't get better as a team without playing against better teams. And I get that, you know, West Ham won the Conference League last season and that was it's a European trophy. And a lot of the consensus is, you know, we maybe have a better chance of potentially doing something in it. But for me as a Rangers fan, you want to play in the bigger tournaments against the better teams. And I think the Europa League is at a level. I think tonight we've got a chance to go and prove that we are a good team. Yes, we've got a weakened team, but to me, we've got to be looking at winning both of them. We've got to be looking at winning both of them, and there's no real reason why we can't, in my opinion.
Sorry to bring back bad memories if you were. Were you in Seville for the Europa League final?
I was.
You've decided to return.
Game,
you've decided to return. I thought it'd put you off for life. Return.
Hopefully, we'll come back with a better memory of it. I mean, don't be wrong, when we came out with great fun and great experience, But hopefully we'll be coming back with a better memory of the game. And as I say, still be in the Europa League as of tomorrow.
Right, we'll let you go. 25 minutes away. Sounds a bit quiet though. Maybe it'll get livelier before it kicks off. Thank you to Justin.
Cheers, guys.
There we go. I'm not seriously. You two are a big deal. Think about that. 25 minutes away. You've been out with the guys for a couple of days on a foreign trip, and you think, I know who I need to phone.
I don't think it's anything to do with Andy and I.
Oh, dear.
MD could be sitting here. Two cardboard boxes.
No, I think you're doing yourself. I think they're still finding the power of the show, the power of the Clyde power of, Super
yeah,
Scoreboard.
Super Scoreboard takes all the credit.
I'd imagine this Christmas party there'll be a TV in preparation for the show tomorrow night. You need to do your homework, won't you?
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yes, Andy. Yeah.
And you'll be on at the weekend as well. You'll need to get.
I'll be rooted to TV.
Do you want to reveal to the audience which city centre location you're going to, so that fans could come for like a meet and greet with you, or you just leave a bit of like mystery to it?
No, I'm always open to my
fans. George Bowie won't thank you for that, so I wouldn't if I
George
was
is
you.
Not gone.
Is he not?
No, ah, so fine. There's only one big celeb there, right?
Mark, do you know why Mark Wilson's running late? He's going to have to come late because he's on a first aid course.
He's in a headache course.
He's in a first aid course.
I've had to do that.
For coaching?
Yeah.
That must be the same thing then.
I was with him a day. He's really enjoying it, I've got to say.
On the first aid course?
Yeah.
Well, he said...
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, oh, of course it is. I mean, I'm not knocking it as such. I mean, he did say that the best preparation's been sitting every Thursday night with a big dummy next to him for the last few years.
It's also important after this man's had a few shandies by 10 o'clock.
He'll be standing with one tonight.
You'll be in the recovery position by 11.
No, I'm driving tonight.
Are you actually?
I was in the car last year, remember?
Yeah, but you were going through a bit of a detox last year. I feel like that's not really the case.
You need to dive home. But look at the colour of that jacket for you.
It's so black.
It's dark blue, you know it is.
Right, let's get the full-time story from Pittodrie. Dave Galloway, what a night.
Yeah, absolutely, Gordon. A very good performance by Barry Robson's side, and you can hear clearly what the fans make of that. They're chanting, bring on the Rangers. Aberdeen 2, Eintracht Frankfurt 0, with that League Cup final against Rangers just around the corner. Aberdeen made 8 changes to their starting lineup. Eintracht, who showed 6 changes themselves, to early control and dominate the possession, knocking the ball about very confidently. However, after 41 minutes, the Dons took the lead with a very well-worked goal. Duke played a lovely 1-2 with Shaden Morris, and when the cross came in, Duke had a simple task to slide the ball home to send his team in at the interval 1-0 ahead. And it was nearly 2-0 when Morris and Duke again combined well. Ryan Duncan looked certain to convert Morris's pinpoint cross, but a defender popped up and managed to clear the danger. Eintracht seeing plenty of the ball in the second half, as they did in the first, but the home defence stood firm once again. Slobodan Rubicic and Richard Jensen making crucial clearances. Aberdeen doubled their lead with a brilliant goal on 75 minutes. A wonderful ball over the top from Dante Polvara. Esther Sockler raced onto it and showed really good composure as he drilled the ball into the top corner. Barry Robson's side have scored, incidentally, in every group game this season, and this result sets them up perfectly for the cup final at Hampden on Sunday. It finished Aberdeen 2, Eintracht Frankfurt 0.
I get it. I'm not saying we go down the glorious failure route or start kind of polishing up failures and trying to make out that it's brilliant and we need to aim higher, etc, etc. I get all that. But I want overall Aberdeen, right? 6 points, as Dave says, scored in every game. That was a famous win there at home against Eintracht Frankfurt. With the best will in the world, that was a tough group. Pauk and Eintracht Frankfurt are clearly ranked way above Aberdeen. They've come third, 6 points, which is more points than the vast majority of the third place teams in all the other groups. And even on top of that, probably played quite well within the defeats as well. Can they actually be relatively content with their European campaign?
Absolutely, and I'll go the other way. There's almost a what-if scenario where 2 draws against Helsinki, if they could have won one of their games, especially at the home game, and listen, they were 1-0 up against Frankfurt away and were holding out for such a long period of time. So they've been in a lot of games. Obviously, you mentioned it earlier, the Pauk game at home, Pauk game away, another draw. So they've more than competed in every game in the group stage so far.
Yeah, well done to Aberdeen, coefficient points and money and all the rest of it as well tonight. So well done to them. And that's just a great win in its own right, and that will do the conference no harm at all going in to Sunday's League Cup final. We're building up to kick off in Seville. What have you two got in the teaser? We're looking for the last nine players before last night to score for Celtic in a Champions League group game that they won. Sinclair, Griffiths and Forrest.
Is Tony Watt one?
Yes. Quite a well-known goal, in case you hadn't heard. Andy?
Wanyama.
Yes, same game.
What about, must have, Gary Hooper?
Gary Hooper against Spartak, yes. We'll get the rest of the answers after I tell you about this.
Cash for Kids, Mission Christmas, with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist, changing landscapes across the UK.
Take out the phone, text CAR to 84901, C-A-R to 84901. That will donate £5 to Cash for Kids, children right here in our communities that need your help. And it puts you in the draw for a brand new BMW 1 Series, thanks to Arnold Clark. I genuinely cannot see a downside to that plan. Of course, the text will cost a standard network rate message as well, but £5 to local children to give them food on the table, clothes on their back, heating in the house at Christmas, that sort of thing. That's what we're talking here. And you might get a brand new car as well. It's a lovely car as well, it has to be said. It's got the heated sports seats, digital cockpit with Apple CarPlay, M Sport bodywork. It's a lovely, lovely car, and it could be yours. But lines and entries close 6pm this Saturday, the 16th of December. It's over 18s only, and full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West, 0141 951 1025, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday is here. Gordon DL is still technically with us. If you would just please, it's like looking after a child, wheel yourself back. Here he comes. Where have you been? What have you lost? You seem very stressed over there in the corner of the studio.
I've lost my gel.
So some weird about a 61-year-old man complaining that he's lost his hair gel.
I've got to flick it up.
Wait, gel.
Keep out my eyes.
Wait, take a gel. Bro,
shockwaves.
No, it's just a wee golden thing.
Wet look.
It looks bomb. Dynamite. Dynamite.
He's taking this Christmas night out really seriously.
I wonder why.
I know.
I can't look.
It's the season to be jolly.
It's my one night out a year, Andy.
Giving it Cash for Kids lunch on Friday.
That was an afternoon. This is a night.
It turned into a night.
I didn't. I was home by 6:30.
Do you know what he was telling me as well? I don't even know if I'm allowed to reveal this. Too late, no. So I'm going to do it anyway. No, not that. Jeez, right. I'm not silly. Apparently, him and Mark Wilson, it's like their own little duo. They've apparently been away filming some sort of hot wings challenge for a well-known local football podcast. Andy Halliday,
yep.
Have you ever heard of that? Does that ring a bell?
I think so. I think I've just heard it.
Big celebs get invited to do things like that.
How's your backside? Exactly.
No, I do with that. My mouth was incredible. You should have seen Wilson have the tears.
Well, don't spoil it for when the video is released. But
oh my goodness, you just watch it for Wilson. Honestly,
was he in bits? Was he?
Oh, bits.
I like that. Anyway, right.
It looked like he'd just been freed by Celtic again.
We're building up to kick off in Seville. We'll go there very soon. What about this teaser we're looking for before last night? The last nine players to score for Celtic in a Champions League group stage game that they won. Sinclair, Griffiths, Forrest, Hooper, Watt, Wanyama.
A man that's in the teaser every time. Kenny Miller.
Friend of the show, no.
Oh, no. Okay.
Giorgio Samaras.
Oh, also no.
Fantastic. Chris Cummins.
Yes, Spartak 2012. You've got one more from that Anderlecht game, which was the last game Celtic won before last night, and one more from the Ajax game, which was the last home game before last night that Celtic won.
Joel Edley?
No, but you've got two to get, so we'll try and get them. No, before the end of the show. Still got a bit of time. What else is out there? I don't think we've got time to squeeze many more calls in. Great win for Aberdeen. Do you know what just keeps popping up in my Twitter feed tonight over and over again? Antoine Griezmann. He's a real favourite of yours, isn't
Brilliant.
He?
So
he's been speaking about his football manager career and what he's up to, and apparently he's managing Blackburn Rovers, and his star signing is Calvin Ramsey.
No way.
Just like when Scottish football just crops up in like the weirdest places. So he's actually gone on. The truth is, he said, I can't remember his name, but I've signed a young Scottish right back.
That's horrible.
From Liverpool.
That's horrible. He's star signing, can't remember his
and
name.
And it's his star signing.
I was like that throughout my career as a manager.
Just sign Andy.
Yeah.
Have you ever played football manager?
Never ever.
Of course he hasn't.
No,
that's definitely right up your street.
Love it.
What's like your
Andy?
Love it.
What's top of your CV? What's your best achievement?
Wrexham to Champions League spot. I don't think I ever won the league.
Wow. Yeah. How long? How many seasons is that?
About 10 or 12 or something. That was my go-to for away trips, European trips, and the plane. And
who was like? What did the Wrexham team look like?
It's a great question.
Any big names?
No, South American wonder kids. By the end of it, to be honest,
you're scouting like far and wide.
I can't remember any local talent, shall we say?
That's, I like that's even better though. You've just sort of, you know, really thrown the net out there to see what gems you can
come
up with.
Am I right saying that I seen, was it Ange Postecoglou the other day? No, say he was a big football manager.
Yeah, who did he take again? Oh, did he
at Tottenham?
No. It looks like he's playing it at the moment.
Oh, it was like, was it like Swindon or something like that?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Somebody like that.
I think we should get. Listen, that is
your way forward.
Think about it. You are still a frustrated football manager deep down, but you don't really like going out to football games and you can't be bothered with the hassle. So let's just play it on the computer rather than trying to be one.
By the way, I think there's a place for scouting just purely through Football Manager. For real life football,
they do take the stats side of it quite well, very seriously, don't they? It's well researched.
Yep.
And how much money do you get?
Well, it depends who you go.
Exactly. It's all your budget in relative terms. Ange was Southend.
So yeah. you can pick a team to go and manage.
For goodness sake,
is
cool.
Yeah. Who do you want to manage?
Andy, pick. Who would you go? Any team?
Who would I go? Probably Luton.
Some Motherwell fan, that.
No, it's near the airport. You can get a lot of players in and easy jet cheap flights. I've cut my costs already, son. I'm expensing.
I hear Prestwick United are looking for a team as well. Right, let's go back to Seville for a final recap of teams with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, the Rangers fans up in the far corner, up in the gods, are in full voice at the moment. The home end not quite full, however. There is a few Rangers fans dotted about the home end as well. Rangers looking to add a bit of positivity to their poor record in Spain. They've never beaten a Spanish side in Spain. One win in 15 competitive matches in Spain. The only one was that Cup Winners' Cup final in Barcelona in 1972. It's not quite that occasion tonight, but it's still a big game, a lot on the line. A win and Rangers top the group, guaranteed to head into the last 16 of the Europa League. If they don't win, they need to hope Sparta Prague don't win against Aris Limassol in Cyprus. If that is the case, they finish second. If not, it'll be Conference League football for Rangers. If we have a look at the team, I was just watching them warm up there. I wonder what kit they're wearing, because the players had their blue shorts on, so if they're copying Gordon Dalziel, they'll probably have black jerseys on tonight, but we'll see. The starting lineup: Jack Butland in goal, the back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic, John Lundstrom and Jose Cifuentes, the two holding midfielders, Ross McCausland, Sam Lammers and Abdallah Siba in behind Cyril Dessers. You take a look at the Real Betis team as well. Rangers have their injury issues, as do Real Betis, but that midfield trio, they've got William Carvalho, 80 caps for Portugal, Andres Guardado, 179 caps for Mexico, and Isco, their magic man in the number 10 role, 38 times he's been capped by Spain, so they do have that quality. But Philip Clement is a positive man. He wants to get that result to set them up for a big, big week ahead.
Andrew McLean with a sterling professional job there on the Rangers team. Great build-up, big occasion, completely ruined by an absolute clown in the studio who has spilled his coffee all over the desk. Do you know, like, that one person in the class that does something daft and ruins it for everybody else? I'm sure we were told we weren't allowed drinks on this new fancy desk. We sometimes try and get away with it. You've gone and spilt your coffee.
I've spoiled it.
And that'll be the end of it. Look at the state of that. Has that gone on your shirt for the night out?
I don't know. I'm scared to look down. Are you okay? Who's doing that?
It's went over his black jacket.
It was one of those Andy gave me.
I'll move the ball for it.
Sit that.
Oh, brilliant.
So you've actually mopped it up with like the information pack that we give you for the show as well.
That's not good to him, that, is it?
Honestly.
Look, we can all make mistakes. It's Christmas.
He's one of a kind. Right, anyway, on the game tonight, predictions. I need like a score line and a sort of where Rangers are going to end up, how it's going to go for them.
I think a worry is, I think Rangers might need help from elsewhere. I wouldn't be surprised to see a draw at Betis tonight.
Which would mean
a Sparta Prague win, Rangers are Watford.
Ooh, Gordon DL, will Rangers do it tonight?
No, I think they're under pressure. I think the Betis, with their home record, I think will just be too strong. So I'll go 2-1.
Right, quick, I need two more on the teaser. Who scored against Anderlecht for Celtic, apart from Sinclair and Griffiths? And who scored against Ajax for Celtic, apart from Forrest?
Shut Armstrong?
Nope.
Kyle?
Yes, I mean, obviously somebody's texted you that. You're never getting that.
I'm too busy mop my mess.
Last one.
Has he also been a pundit on the show?
No, absolutely not. But a very Brendan Rodgers first spell player. A couple of loan spells, very popular. Tricky winger.
Patrick Roberts.
Patrick Roberts, well done. Andy Haldy, thanks for joining us. Gordon DL, mop up your coffee.
Yeah.
You'll be fine by Saturday for the after the Christmas night out tonight. All we need is that you're fit by Saturday.
I'll
lunchtime.
Be fit by tomorrow, Gordon.
Good. Thanks for listening. It was a pleasure. Big night for Rangers. Well done, Aberdeen. Whatever happens, we will look back on it tomorrow night. And of course, then intensify the build up to the League Cup final as well. So much to look forward to. We will be back at 6 o'clock tomorrow, and enjoy the rest of your night.